So everyone, go home and feed the homeless guy who's living on your front porch. Can you imagine coming home from work and having to step over a homeless guy to get in the house? We can look at this parable two different ways. I could tell you in this parable, Jesus is predicting future events. I could tell you that the rich man and Lazarus and Abraham are not individuals, but they each represent different groups of people. The rich man represents the Jewish people, Lazarus represents the Gentiles, and Abraham represents the promises of Christ. I could tell you that the rich man or the Jewish people are rich beyond their understanding, not because any material wealth, but because we know God places no value on material wealth. They are rich because they have God's favor, salvation and glory. Eternal life is theirs for the taking, and yet they choose not to take it. So what they have, the riches beyond their wildest dreams, will be given to the Gentiles, who is Lazarus. Therefore, Lazarus or the Gentiles will be received into the glory of heaven before the rich man or the Jewish people. Jesus makes this prediction more than once in the Gospels. And finally, Jesus predicts his own passion, his death and rising from the dead, and how people will react to this event. I could tell you all of that, but that would be too easy. It's obvious, and you probably figured all that out on your own anyway. So let's look at it a different way. If you look at this as though the rich man and Lazarus are individuals, then we must ask, what did each man do to deserve the reward or punishment that they received? What did the rich man do to deserve the punishments of hell? Is it because he was rich? Is being rich enough to send you to hell? The Lord says earlier, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. But it is not being rich that is a sin. It is becoming a servant to your wealth. That is the sin. As we heard last week, you cannot serve both God and mammon. The rich man turned in on himself. He turned away from Lazarus and from the world. He turned away from God. He cared only for himself, his own needs, his own happiness, and his own wealth. And in this, he separated himself from God. And what of Lazarus? What did Lazarus do to deserve the rewards of heaven? We only know that he was covered with sores, and he would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. We don't know anything else about him. We can look in Scripture to find something else. It is written in the book of Isaiah, "This is the one whom I approve, the lowly and afflicted man who trembles at my word." Since Lazarus was carried to the bosom of Abraham, we can safely assume that this passage describes him and that he trembled at the word of God. Lazarus spent his whole life praying for mercy. He was lowly in stature, the poorest of the poor, and not even given the dignity that was given to dogs. He had absolutely nothing but his faith. So how do we avoid the trap of the rich man and achieve the promise that Lazarus received? In the 1920s, a certain publication presented several noteworthy people with an essay question. It was their intention to publish the answers of these supposedly wise people for the world to read. The essay question was this: what is wrong with the world today? One of the men selected to answer the essay was Mr. G.K. Chesterton. And for those who don't know, G.K. Chesterton lived in England and was a convert to Christianity. He wrote several books defending the Catholic faith against the heresies of his day and even our day today. He was considered a genius by everyone, especially those who were his enemies. In answer to the question, "What is wrong with the world today?" Mr. Chesterton simply wrote, "I am." This is the essay he submitted for publication. And 90 years later, it's the only one anyone remembers. We have heard similar things from other notable people. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Go out and preach the gospel to everyone you meet, and if necessary, even use words." You've probably heard that several times. Gandhi and Mother Teresa have said things like, "Be the difference that you want to make in the world." We have to look in the mirror and say, "Now I see the problem." This is the only problem that we can fix, or at least have any hope of fixing. And just like Lazarus, we are covered with sores. Our afflictions are the trials and hardships of our daily lives. These are the things that grind on us and wear us down. These things make us question our faith. They make us ask questions like, "Where is God in all of this? Why won't God answer my prayers? What else do I have to do?" We must remain resolute in our faith. Although we are lowly and afflicted, we must continue to tremble at God's word. If we remain steadfast in our faith, the reward is eternal life. And like Lazarus, we will be received into the heavenly kingdom by the Father Abraham.